Luke chapter 1, we're going to look at this young lady and her response. And sometimes we have this idea about Mary that is, it can go one way or the other. There's some that completely put her in a place of adoration and then just place her, that some want to react to that, and as a result of that, they don't give her the credit that she is due. It's interesting, the words, words are important, and I was listening to this song, How Do You Solve a Problem Like Maria, and I hear flibbertigibbet, and I go, I want to look that up, and there is a word. It's a silly, flighty person, and then a will-o'-the-wisp. It's an atmospheric ghost light seen by travelers at night. It resembles a flickering lamp and is said to recede if approached, drawing travelers from the safe paths. And so Rodgers and Hammerstein, when they were putting together their music, words were important to them. Well, even more than that, God's word is important to the Lord in communicating to us in a way that would be the most effective. So if you want to take notes, there's a section. Pull that out in your bulletin. We're going to work through this to see this woman that God, for whatever reason, chose her to be the one that would be the mother of his son. But let's pray once again. Father, I ask you, Lord, that we would be balanced properly as we look into your word, that we would have an appreciation for what went on here. This would be a very difficult time for this young lady, and yet she found solace in this relative and mostly in you. And as a result, what came out of her mouth was what was in her heart that you had placed there. So we thank you for her, and we ask you to just bless our time together. So if you're, amen. If you're looking at your word of God there, point number one, the counsel begins. The counsel begins. Look at verse 39 with me, 39 and 40. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. Now, if you think about that, she had just received this amazing news. Remember, we talked about it last week, the fact that she was going to be the mother of the theanthropic person, the God-man, Jesus Christ, and all that that entailed. Who can she talk to? Have you ever watched these ladies when they got news that maybe they've just found out that they're pregnant and they want to talk to somebody about it? They're excited about it. And they go and they get together, and women that get together, they're just so excited about something and they just share and they understand. And even we have this with men, that who are you going to talk to when there's something that's on your heart that you'd think to yourself, this person would understand me. I'm going to be able to talk to this person. The only person that in Mary's mind is going to at all understand what she's going through, and she heard it from the angel, we talked about this last week, that there was going to be that Elizabeth, who is pregnant, who's very old, her husband's very old, and so she needs confirmation that something amazing has happened, and an angel already talked to her. I'm going to go and talk to her also, because this is just so amazing. Who can I talk to? And so for confirmation, she goes. So she gets up, she goes, verse 40, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Now we would look at that and go, greet Elizabeth, what does that mean? Well, hi. But in the Middle East, if we were to trace even back to Exodus, where Moses would go to see his uncle Jethro, or you see early in the Bible, in the Middle East, when people would go and greet one another, it wasn't just hi. It literally was coming together, an embrace or a kiss, and then going into a tent and talking about what's been happening with your life. And it went on for a little while. So a greeting would be a big deal thing. And so she rushes out with this info that she has been given, and she has to go and talk to her aunt because she just can't keep this to herself. I know that you've had this where you get news of something and you just can't help but to share it with people. And who would understand? The other day, Kim and I, we watched Andy Griffith's show. Now I've got you. Now I got you with Andy Griffith's show, okay? And I don't know if you remember this one, but these men come to the office and they want to talk to Andy, and they won't talk to Barney. they just will not talk to him. And he just feels so hurt by that. Finally, he's sent out, and Andy gets the news that there's a gold shipment that's going to come through Mayberry. $7 million in a Brinks truck that's going to come through Mayberry. But it has to be hush, hush. You can't say anything. And Barney finds out about it. He goes, Barney, we can't tell anybody. The scene is Andy leaves the room, and Barney gets on the phone, and who does he call? He calls Juanita. And he starts sharing stuff. There's big news, but I can't tell you. I just can't tell you. I got to keep you in the cold. Gold. Did I say cold? I didn't say gold. I said cold. And he says all these things, and he just starts building this thing. And ultimately, they have signs in Mayberry welcoming this truck through town. And it just gets me. And Barney's like kicking it. He's mad at Gomer because Gomer said something. The only reason that they know is because Barney told everybody. I think about this story and how she has this news and she can't talk to everybody about it because the shame that's involved. Why is she pregnant? Well, I got a story. You're not going to believe this, but God has something God has something to do with you being. And so she needs confirmation. She needs a confirmation pregnancy, and that would be in the person of Elizabeth. So she goes and sees her. Point number two, the confirmation received. Look at verse 41. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, and the baby leaped in her womb. Okay, so when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this to me is confirmation of so many different things. It's confirmation of what the Holy Spirit can do. It's confirmation of the fact that this is the littlest prophet ever that is proclaiming something of joy. I mean, how tall? I don't know how tall the baby is, but it's proclaiming something of joy. It's also, this is probably one of the most powerful pro-life verses of all time, when you think about it. That the baby acknowledges another baby, and it was just, we don't even know the amount of time, but it's not after the first trimester or the second trimester. This has been just a little bit of time, and there's an acknowledgement of a person is in the room. And I just think that it's powerful when you stop and think about what is being taught here. Look at verse 42, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And so she's starting up this song, verses 43 through 45. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now notice, it's not the mother of God. Mary is not the mother of God. She's not the queen of heaven. She's the mother of the God-man, the theanthropic person, Jesus Christ. God doesn't have a mother, okay? God is from eternity, okay? But in this person of Jesus Christ, this is the case. For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And so this song is remarkable. She's had faith while her husband Zechariah did not. He was struck dumb because of his unbelief, but Elizabeth was not. She believed God. Now she encourages Mary. Mary is this young woman. Elizabeth is an old woman. Elizabeth has walked with God for many years, and she assures Mary that God would take care of everything. And Mary needed this, and we need to be this kind of friend. Just today I got a text from somebody that's hurting, and they're hurting badly, and they needed encouragement, and I wanted to give them as much encouragement as possible. And there's going to be times for each of us that's the case. There'll be somebody that come, they love you enough, or they think enough of you to share their heart. Be aware of that and be ready. The things I want to say, I want them to be something that would be a thing of encouragement. And this is what you see here with Elizabeth, words of encouragement. Last point, point number three, the canticle sung. Look at verse 46 here. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed." You see, she needs a Savior. She's a sinner. I don't know what kind of girl Mary was. I don't know if she was late to church like Maria, all right? I don't know what kind of person she was. She was somebody that God entrusted with this job, but she needs a Savior, and only sinners need Saviors. And so she's making us aware of that fact, and so she's singing this song. And by the way, that's what Jesus does. Remember we talked about last week when I was playing the record player for you, and I was talking about in our home we had records that we would play and things along that line. But when I think about my walk with the Lord, the times that he starts doing a work in my life, there's a couple things that I do. Okay, this is me, and I've seen it in other people's lives. And it's this: I sing, and here's the next one, I cry. And it seems that we see in the scriptures, when God starts doing a work in our lives, we become more sensitive. Now, not all, "I never cry." Amen. If you can do that, fine. All right. But I'm finding as I get older and as the truth of different things hit me, there's times where I go, "Man, I wish this stuff didn't hit me as hard as it does." Some of you, I don't know if you're like this, there are some songs you can't sing. There's a song you guys, every time you lead it, I'm going, "He's doing it again." And I've told you this, that I can't get through like the second verse. I just stop because I'm going, "I'm going to be a blubbering idiot in a moment here." Why? Because that song overwhelms me. The words, that song that says, "Prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love." That gets me every time because that's me. And so we see here what God has done in this girl's life. She can't help but sing. And in this song, there are 15 references to the Old Testament. 15 references. And so she knows her stuff. And some of you go, "I could never do that." If I said to any of you young girls, I'm doing girls because we're talking Mary. Men, I'll beat you up later. But girls, if I were to say to you, "I'd like you to put together a song, and within a short amount of time, I'd like you to have at least 15 references from the Old Testament." Anybody in the room, if you could do it. It'd be pretty good. So, "I don't think kids can do that today." Last night, I had opportunity to come to this event that they had here for this thing called Classical Conversations. And a girl gets up here, and I don't even know how old she was. She's Steve and Tia's niece. She gets up here, and in front of all of us, did a speech, not with any notes, on Joan of Arc. And it was good. And I literally was like, "Dude." And so here's why. There were things expected of her. She put the time in. And if I had that with your whatever you're passionate about, you know, some of you are like, "Well, Mary didn't have to do a speech. She just had Elizabeth there," all right? But when you think about it, you put together from what's coming out of you. Here's what comes out of us a lot of times. There was a time in my life, I could listen to the radio, and if two chords of a song would come on, I knew the words right away. Why? Because I listened to those records, and I listened to that radio over and over and over. Out of my heart, out of my mouth came my heart. And so this girl is a girl that has spent time in the Word, and it's an encouragement to you and I that as we spend time in the Word, when the hard times come, that's what's going to come out of us. Look at verses 49 through 55. "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Each one of these things, by the way, are references from the Old Testament. "And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate." I heard a story about this that I was looking it up. I asked Kim a question. The word here for exalted those of humble estate is the word, get this, hoopsie. Oopsie. Sounds like something. I heard somebody talking about this. You ever hear the phrase, oopsie-daisy? You ever hear that? You know where that comes from? I was asking Kim, I go, when you think of oopsie-daisy, what does that make you think of? She goes, I just dropped something. But actually, what came out of that is, or what where that comes from is, when there's a kid, and it's got, it goes through the whole thing, the etymology of it, but it's actually helping a little one up after they have fallen. So, oopsie-daisy. Now, I did it again, that great theologian, Britney Spears. But you think about that, and you go, so when I was thinking about that, I don't know if the person that said oopsie-daisy had this deep thought about hoopsie in the Greek, all right? But that's what made me think of this, when I'm looking at this. And in the Greek, he's saying, and exalted those of humble estate. We were like a little kid on the ground. And God in his love, of all the kids, he goes, I want you. And he picks us up. And this is what God does. 53. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. So she needed confirmation. And the beauty of it is, as she's singing this song, she's saying, these things are good. God has done them. We all want resolution to our stories. Frank Capra was the great director of the movie It's a Wonderful Life. And after he made that movie, he got more letters, and here's what the letter was. The questions he got most in the letter was this. Whatever happened to Mr. Potter? I mean, he took advantage of drunk Uncle Billy, who was happy, and he had gotten all that stuff, and when you watch in the bank, and he transferred, and Potter took his money. Why is that the case? What happened with him? And the reality is because people want resolution. They want, here's what they would love. Yeah, it's great that George Bailey gets out of stuff, but somebody should have gone and just pounded on Potter. They should have just, we want resolution. And I want to say that Mary, as she's singing this song, she's resolving everything. She's saying, there is resolution in God. You can trust in God. So I'm asking you this morning, right now, in your life, is there some turmoil going on? Is there some stuff going on that you're like, I don't know how God's going to take care of this. I don't know how he's going to answer this. I want to say to you that he is our hope. He's the one that we cry out to. He's the one we look to. And this Christmas season, any time of the year, I want to encourage you, please look to him. Cry out to him. Resolve in your heart that he's the one that has answers, because that's what Mary did and was so, so worth it. I'm going to pray and then call up the praise team to close our time in a song. Father, thank you for what has happened in the life of this young lady, and as a result of that, she put her trust and her hope in you. And we want to do the same. We want to look to you as the one who resolves all things, the one that we can rest in, the one that when we stop and think about it, he truly is our only hope. There are times we can get through the day. We've got food in our fridge. We've got warm homes. We've got this. We've got that. And it's so tempting to lean on our own understanding, to lean just on ourselves. But God, we know when we stop and think about it that things could turn in a moment. And then where's our hope? God, I ask you that even in the good times, our hope would be in you. And that's where our peace would lie. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.